Hey listeners, Logan here from the ITL cast. Tonight we recorded live for the first time in a while, and because of that we had a few audio issues, but we cleaned those up pretty quickly, so thanks for bearing with us while that happened. If you want to catch us on the next live recording, we're going to start doing that every Thursday night starting around 9:30 p.m. Central Time. If you want to find out exactly when we start recording as well as the link to watch us as we record live, you can find that. If you follow us on Twitter at ITLcast. See you next week and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we have quite a bit to discuss. We're going to get into policy. We're going to get into substantive matters. We're going to talk Republican debate. We're going to go candidate by candidate. Oh, we're going to talk pros, cons. Did they perform? Did they overperform? Did they underperform? And of course, we're not going to get into any of that. It is the summer of Trump here inside the locker, the no-flex zone. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for having us. This is the first live edition, and we think that there will be many more. I'm going to start yelling because the Puff Daddy and the family track has ended, and we have put it down. All right, we actually
Sorry about that,
do
folks.
Have quite a bit to discuss. We're going to start with the NFL, coming off of a pretty gigantic week one. Entertainment, hijinks, drama, theatrics, Tony Romo comebacks, all of that and more. Of course, we also all had our respective fantasy teams, and we all had pain, suffering, pleasure. So I guess probably, you know, we don't want to harp on the past too much. But to begin with what just happened, we're going to basically bring this game back that we had last year. Our frittata, our Rudy, and our Fredos of the week. We're going to go, I guess, one by one. And so for the frittata, which is basically, you know, someone that did something unspeakably dumb, difficult, and frustrating, and that really just killed you. Adam, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Why is Adam gotta go first?
Because Adam gets to go first.
Oh, okay.
First man on the planet.
That's a good point.
So said the Bible.
That's a good point.
What?
I thought you were calling him the.
Oh, all right. So I was calling you Beef Nuggets.
Oh, okay. Beef Nuggets from the Bible.
Yeah. Like you do.
So your frittata.
My frittata. You know what? If I really could lump up the entire New York Giants organization, I probably would. But in order to be just specific, this week, you know what? I'm going to go with JPP. You know, he it was
leave the Pope out of this.
It's been okay, fine. It's been kind of concealed how damaged his hand actually was, and it gets announced, and pictures make it onto Instagram this past week of the dude's missing three freaking fingers.
Yeah.
You know, he's like. Yeah. They said, you know, the index finger was definitely gone, which it's definitely gone.
Yeah.
And middle finger is, I don't know, it's like, it's, he can, it's like midget flick off.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, it's right there.
Yeah, like you can kind of say the middle finger is there. But yeah, the index is definitely gone. And they said maybe part of the whole thumb's gone.
Yeah, it's like the middle finger of Kerry Strug. Like,
yeah. The New York Daily News got its hands on some pictures. And I think really the big question with JPP, what he did was unspeakably dumb. Unspeakably ill-advised. Now, that said, you can't tell me that you haven't been drunk, lit fireworks, and then thought, what would happen if I just held it in my hand right now?
Yeah, I also don't make, you know, $10 million a year.
That's true.
I can honestly say. As someone who's a fireworks advocate, I can honestly say I've never thought that.
Let's not go specific. Can anybody at this table say that you haven't done something insanely stupid that you knew was stupid at the time?
Oh, yeah. No. I've totally done that.
Right, I'm doing something stupid.
I still have all 10 fingers, and I also still don't make $10 million. But if I did make $10 million a year, or whatever it is that JPP makes on a, you know, in a contract year, but I know he's going to downplay like how important his fingers are to his game plan ability. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to grab things when you don't have this.
Can you get a hook?
That's kind of the reason why we've kind of evolved from monkeys. Mm-hmm. And you know,
does he have a thumb?
You know,
oh no,
no, he doesn't.
Gone.
No, thumb's gone.
So he doesn't have this. He doesn't have this, and he has like
no,
this.
No, yeah, Correct. Yeah, that's him.
He basically has what Odell Beckham used to catch that ball.
I am surprised by your lack.
He's like a raptor.
I'm surprised by your lack of empathy. Now that said,
yeah, fuck him.
That said,
that's cold, man.
Fuck him. He makes $10 million a year. He doesn't deserve empathy. That was some stupid shit. And oh my god, he has the money to pay it. He'll be fine.
He'll probably be all right. All right, mine is, and I'm gonna just sort of like be nicer here. This one goes on myself, right? So last Thursday, week one before, I am the frittata in this example, although my anger is directed toward one person. Right before the game starts, Patriots Steelers week one, I go, sweet man, I got Deion Lewis in my lineup. Here we go, ready to ride. Guess what? Deion Lewis, how about 15 to 17 PPR points? I forgot. Which is more than serviceable in that RB2 slot, except that I did not start Deion Lewis. I started Dree Archer, who did not see the field and got 0 points. So, Dree Archer, does anyone even know what team Dree Archer plays for?
No.
FX.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't do a damn thing. So that was on me. Logan, what about you? Who is your frittata of... By the way, this frittata thing, I don't like it. Frank, I don't like the name. I thought it was very clever when you guys first pitched it because everybody likes frittatas. They're delicious. They come in a little cast iron skillet that make you feel good. Except that it is slang for a very politically incorrect, very damaging word that we use all the time. And it's like a reference to the league, which is like a show that's good, but it has like held up very poorly over the years because its humor is like, here is the line, and here is like a rape joke, and here is another rape joke.
Well, you don't want to talk about Over the Line. Did you hear about the main star? He got caught this week.
Oh, he had a bad week.
Now, I feel for him. Steve Arnezzi?
He lied. He said he was in the World Trade Center. He wasn't. He was working in Midtown.
I think it's a lot that got away from him.
Okay.
I think he was just exaggerating, and then that shit built up over the last 10 years.
We all tell lies.
Yeah, so it's like
our lies like exaggerate a little bit. You know, like perfect example, when I was in middle school, I was on the basketball team. We were down by 3. Hit a 3-pointer. His time expired. Got fouled. Went to the line with a chance to make.
You were never in school
to make
keep it 100% untrue.
Yeah, and I missed the free throw, and that was the tie. We ended up losing in overtime. Now that happened, I was there. That wasn't me though. That was my buddy Jeremy. You know what I mean? So we've all told those lies.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he got caught up in one. Although that's a little bit. Over the line.
It's a little bit over the line, but like I feel like, you know, there's this internet outrage machine that doesn't want to give mercy to anybody. It's like, damn, man, he made a mistake. Like, the same thing happened to the star of Arrow, like, today.
This is the second week we're talking about Arrow.
sorry.
I don't know what Arrow is, man. No, it's a show on FX.
Well, he got caught up.
We're talking about the movie.
He said something
man,
like,
I really wish it was on FX.
Though. Yeah.
It'd be a lot better if it was on FX.
That'd be an amazing show.
Pretty sweet. Pretty fantastic.
Hmm.
All right.
Hold on, go back. So, Logan.
Logan, your frittata of the week.
I'm going to have to say Brett Bielema. Dude, he's the head coach of Arkansas.
He's a disease.
He's the dude who was throwing some shade at the Ohio State schedule and then went on to all of a sudden lose to an FCS team. No, it wasn't FCS. It was Toledo. He lost to Toledo.
But see, you can't really blame Brett because that's just sort of Arkansas. That's what they do. Like, they'll lose to an FCS team but then beat Alabama.
True.
That's who they are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But come on, man, you gotta take care of shit in your own backyard before you start throwing shade at someone else.
Yeah,
if you're gonna throw shade, right, make sure you got the coverage.
Yeah,
Toledo. Isn't that where Colin Kaepernick came from?
No, he came from Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Who are the Aggies? I thought he came from JC's
Dreams.
Speaking of which, JC, your frittata of the week.
Josh McCown, and really the Browns in total, but Josh McCown. One play, one scramble, thought he had a clear path to the end zone, jumped head first like a heroic quarterback would do, although in week one, maybe not the smartest thing to do, proceeded to fumble the ball in the air as he helicoptered around John Elway-like, just not nearly as heroic.
John Elway, Super Bowl 97, yeah. Packers, yeah.
But yeah, different.
Which, by the way,
different,
he held onto the ball.
Right, he held onto the ball, scored the touchdown, became a living legend in Super Bowl history. Josh McCown did not. He fumbled, and he became a living legend in Brown history.
For all
which is saying a lot. And as I say that as a Brown fan.
But he did his best.
Yeah, okay. He did his best. Elliot, you're frittata of the weekend. Again, this is a term that makes me uncomfortable.
That's going to be a wonderful show.
Well, I was trying to set you up for the Sean Connery rock joke.
So, no, I'm going to get a Josh McCown shirt that's just that picture of him that just says, I did my best.
My frittata has to be, honestly, just the entirety of Texas sports radio and Texas fans. Just because, Jesus Christ, y'all whine so fucking much. It's like middle of the season, and you fire your AD, whatever. And then you got all these Dallas fans who are like, well, you know, Romo's not clutch. He can't do it. Well, it turns out if you give that man a motherfucking offensive line, yeah, he can lead you back pretty well. So, I mean, Dallas fans have been proven wrong now, like the shitty ones, that it was never Romo. He was actually the one keeping you above 500. And now that he has somebody around him, they can do some stuff.
So, to be fair, you do mean shitty.
Shitty Dallas fans.
Okay.
Which is most of them.
Okay.
It's like 85% of them are
shitty. I don't live in Dallas.
So it's like Ramon. I'm a Romo fan, obviously. I think the best criticism, the most apt criticism that I've received about Tony Romo, and this was from an old white man at a taco place one time. He goes,
trust.
I tell you what. I'm not going to try to do the accent. I'm not going to try to disrespect the great Texas accent. He said, I tell you what. A quarterback has one job. That's protect the ball. Romo's too reckless.
Three
turnovers. When you lose a turnover battle, you usually don't win the games. When you're minus three, you definitely don't win the games. But that said, you're right. I think Cowboys fans in general do not appreciate what Tony Romo is, what he can do, and what he's brought to the organization since 2006.
And that being said, I mean, you know what? Not only did we lose the turnover battle, he is the one who actually brought us back from that. And the two interceptions that he did that are credited to him.
Yeah.
Only one of those is technically, I would say, directly on him. He did throw the ball behind Jason Witten, so that one's on him.
God, how good is he this year?
Who, Jason Witten?
Yeah.
Oh, he's...
Jesus.
He's consummate.
You know what? He decreases like a percentage maybe every year. Mm. So like now he's like 90% Witten.
But he had been hurt a few years ago, so like he wasn't really running through fools.
He had like torn out his own spleen or something. I don't know. It was something like that.
Yeah, there was that.
But he only missed like one game. Mm.
He's an unbelievable force.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the greatest Cowboys ever. Certainly, you do the all-time Cowboys starting 11 on the offense.
Yeah. He's absolutely a tight end.
He's like a grown-up Tim Riggins.
Yeah, maybe. I like it. Yeah. All right.
As far as the Longhorn AD thing, that didn't really have anything to do with football so much as the guy apparently was a jerk.
Oh.
He came to UT and he's like, this school makes more money than any other school. How can we make a shit ton more?
That's true.
Yeah, pretty much. He was the epitome of like fleecing.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Watch if they reverse any of those policies.
When nobody
I'm sure that's going to be number one.
I'm sure the basketball trip to China is going to be canceled.
No, but I'm saying, like, watch if they reverse prices that they're charging. They're going to keep those prices because I only got somebody to blame. Well, you know, he raised those prices, but now they're in place.
Well, I mean, I think, the issue was there was a net loss for the fiscal year, his first year under the helm. And he tried to make up for it with all these ridiculous markups, and it really, really put him in a bad place. But really, the reality is with Steve Patterson, the fired athletic director of the University of Texas, the perception is that he didn't get it done on the field, and so he had to go. The reality is that nobody liked him, especially, I mean, who gives a fuck if the professors don't like him, if you and I don't like him? The old boys never liked him. Yeah. They didn't like not having a seat at the table. They did not like having a hand in hiring Charlie Strong.
That's what concerns me, though, because they don't like Charlie Strong.
I agree completely. No, it's BS. Charlie Strong's gone. Peace.
Like he's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone. He is out the door. Charlie Strong right now is like...
Which I think is a damn shame, because I think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach. Yeah, I think he's the right coach for this job. Charlie Strong right now is like looking on Craigslist for hires. He's going to be making $15 an hour answering phones this time next year, and it is bullshit.
Yeah. Well, because I even saw one of the potential names is the Louisville lady. He wouldn't keep Charlie Strong around?
No, I think the problem is, you know, who knows what happens when they come in. Now, the other thing is that the people don't remember is the reason that Oliver Luck, the West Virginia athletic director that was on the short list to become athletic director, that did not ultimately get hired but was presumed to get hired going into the process, was that the reason he didn't get hired is because he didn't want to be the guy to pull the trigger on Mac Brown. He did not want to be that guy, and they said, so Steve Patterson was like, sure, I'll be the guy. it's hard to imagine.
Goes around, comes around.
He was brought in to be bad cop.
He's brought in to be the bad cop. And it's just hard to imagine.
You know what? He did that job well. You know, if nothing else came of it, the fact that he got rid of Mac Brown, Mac Brown came out under his tenure, I'm fine with that.
He, you know, brought us Shaka Smart. He got us alcohol sales at the stadium. He got Charlie Strong, who I think is a good option.
He's cleaning up the team, and what pisses me off is it's going to be another case. And I'm sorry, I'm going to make this racial. Where a black coach comes in, clean shit up, and then they're going to, as soon as they're going to start turning the corner, they're going to have a Steve Kerr come up and say, "Now we're going to win."
Wait until November. Wait until. Did you hear that Nick Saban is interested in the Texas job? Wait until that happens.
Oh, God.
And now, can Charlie coach his way out of this? Can Charlie, like, does Charlie Strong have... The problem is, A, he doesn't have the team.
No.
Really, to win 9-10 games.
Yeah.
I think to save his job, he has to win 9 games. Anything under that, it's going to be a point flip.
8 or 7. I think he can
early to tell.
I think he needs just a winning record. He needs he needs that
above 500.
He needs that 7-6.
And the bowl game.
To the bowl game kind of thing. And I think he's okay. In the college game, I think you give every single coach no less than 3 years.
I think it's only fair.
You need no less than 3 years. It's from the first year in which you go out and do your recruiting to the time in which that first class becomes juniors or seniors.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point at which you make your mark. If you can hit that like 8-3, 9-2 sort of record,
that Les Miles record,
then that kind of buys you the next year.
And you know what I think is kind of amazing is Texas coming off of a down year, a bad year where they were humiliated in the Texas Bowl right? Top 10 recruiting class coming off of that.
Yeah.
So, we're getting off on a tangent.
That's
here.
What I do.
Recruiting class.
I think that. Oh, easily top 10. Are you kidding me? Come on. One above A&M, if I remember correctly.
Not after all, if you count all the players who left.
Yeah. It is complicated. All right. Do we think Charlie Strong is going to be here this time next year? I would be very surprised, although he has every opportunity to. He gets to write the future, which is like a great Nike ad campaign. He's gonna have to write the future, but I don't see how a new AD doesn't come in, cleans house, finds a bigger name, finds a better name, and starts over. That's a little pessimistic, but we'll see. All right, your Rudy of the week. This is somebody that came in off the bench unexpectedly and saved your fantasy team. I'll go first. I got to Marcus Mariota. I had to start him. One of my teams.
Wait, you had to start him?
Had to start him because I don't like drafting quarterbacks, so I wound up with Mariota and Kaepernick, and I decided to start Mariota. 4 touchdowns. Looks like he's the next Aaron Rodgers. Sharp as a tack. Picks apart a pretty terrible-looking Bucs defense. And then also Virgil Green. Shout out to Virgil Green scoring a 1-yard Peyton Manning touchdown. I told you guys about Virgil Green several weeks ago. Look out for Virgil Green. It's going down 2015.
He's
going
to catch a 1-yard pass.
Inside the locker. That's
every
what I got.
Week.
JC, who is your Rudy of the week?
Only because I don't think people expected 2 touchdowns out of him, but Travis Kelce. Wasn't on any of my fantasy teams, but just watching him.
Unbelievable production from tight ends.
Yeah. He was one of my top 5 tight ends.
Plus, had that really awesome touchdown celebration going into the second touchdown where he like wound up and then punched the ball.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Sensational. Elliot.
That
was impressive.
Even though this is not a surprise, I got to say Jimmy Graham.
Sure.
My week, it was a rough fucking week, and he was the only one that performed to where he was supposed to perform.
Sorry. Yeah, and he was somewhat lost out there. I mean, it took him a while to gel, but you get that touchdown, you preserve the day, Adam.
Yeah. This week for me, the Rudy was who was my I know exactly who it was. I usually expect roughly around like a 0-5 for my defense.
Yeah.
You know what? Denver defense gave me a fuckload last week.
How about a fuckload of points from the Denver defense? How about a pick 6? How about a game winning pick 6? How about keeping the Baltimore Ravens to under 20 points? I love that.
Amazing.
Call. Love that.
Amazing.
Call. Beautiful call, Logan. Your Rudy of the week. And this is an award that is named after Rudy Country Store and Barbecue, of course.
It's delicious.
Sorry.
I'm going to actually say this week, for lack of a better answer, I'm going to say Ramon, you were my Rudy of the week, because I got to tailgate with Ramon and his wife and his parents this weekend, and it was beautiful.
That's sometimes
adorable.
The sun goes round the
it was
moon.
A lot of fun.
Sometimes it's snow when there.
Also, you know what? It was a UT tailgate. I'm not a Texas fan. I had a blast.
And that's right. Wait, hold on. Is that like sacrilege or something? What you just did?
Of course not. I'm a reasonable human being.
Tailgating is tailgating.
You're an Aggie.
I tell you what, as long as it's tailgating without the G with an apostrophe, tailgating, you're doing it right.
Yes.
All right, our Fredo of the week. This is somebody that absolutely, like, we had to have come through. and just killed your fantasy hopes, dashed your fantasy hopes, somebody that got hurt on the first play of the game, somebody that didn't perform, someone that gave away the game. I'll go first.
Oh, so many.
I'll go first. Sunday morning, one of the sharpest guys I know on Twitter posted, I wonder if Davante Adams has any idea how much money is on him today. Jordy Nelson goes down. Randall Cobb is banged up. And Davante Adams, a specimen receiver playing with Aaron Rodgers, a sure thing against a poor Bears defense, doesn't do a whole heck of a lot of anything. James Jones, a guy that got cut from all sorts of terrible teams, comes in, catches two touchdowns, takes those points away from me. Davante Adams, you are my Fredo of the week. And I don't even know if I can start you going forward. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm lost. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I'm in a corner. JC, who you got?
Well, you mentioned one of the scenarios of getting hurt on the maybe not very. I don't remember if it was the first play or really early in the game, but DeSean Jackson. I don't know how much I would have gotten out of him because the Redskins probably going to be worse than we anticipated.
Redskins.
Which is pretty much the reason why I actually picked DeSean Jackson even for my team is because I figured they were going to be down a lot.
I remember RG3's second year. Dude was gold for garbage points.
Yeah.
And I was kind of banking on a scenario like that.
But that being said, Alfred Morris, pretty amazing game.
Yeah.
Well, he got fed a lot.
He did.
And hopefully that's a trend for all of those Alfred Morris owners.
I'm not one of those.
Out there. I am one of those, but only in, you know, two of my 12 leagues. Elliot, who was your Fredo of the week?
Oh, so many. But I got to go with the Texans D.
Like, okay.
I love Jimmy Watt. He's a great player.
There is no Jimmy Watt, man. There's no Jimmy Watt.
That was Jimmy Watt.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. I call him Jimmy.
It's Jimmy J.J. Watt.
What's his? Was it James or? I don't know.
Hold on. I
guess in my mind, he's so good at like my prejudice is like he must be black.
It's Justin James.
Okay.
Jimmy Watt in the house.
So J. Jimmy
James Watts. PDD Pop Pop. You know, they're supposed to be really good. And I watched that Hard Knocks on HBO, and I was really impressed. But, man, they put up a fucking goose egg.
See, it was watching Hard Knocks, and I was like, man, I thought, and even, you know, going into it, Clowney, Cushing, and Watt, we're like, and
Clowney's Wolfork, a fucking Wolfork, bust.
We're like, man, yeah. That defense is going to be awesome. And watching all of Hard Knocks, they look like shit.
Yeah.
All season, all preseason.
You guys, I'm freaking the fuck out right now because I'm watching us live on like a 30-second delay. Looking at these hand motions that I just made half a second ago. This is freaking me the fuck out. That's enough. All right.
So for those audio listeners, we are actually broadcasting live via YouTube streaming, a Google Hangouts Live.
Google Hangouts Live, YouTube streaming.
If you're following us on Twitter, then if you're paying attention at the moment we tweeted out, then you would have gotten the link. For those of you who are currently listening live, please tweet at us if you have any questions and want to ask us something live in the air. For those the rest of you who listen to us on delay, we will be broadcasting live pretty much every Thursday night starting around 9:30 p.m. Central Time from here on out. So pay attention.
And we're just getting started. And we're just getting started. Inside the Locker, it's going down. Okay, so we've dropped our Fredos. Did anybody
know? We haven't. I haven't dropped a Fredo.
Give me your Fredo.
No.
Elliot, give me your Fredo.
No, you already did. You know what? Between my two teams, I had, man, so fucking many. The one who really killed it for me because I really, really needed him to come through on the last day, Adrian Peterson. You know what? Mm. You take a year off, you rest those legs.
Take a year off.
He took a year off.
That's a kind characterization.
Okay, fine. He was given
a year.
He was given the year off. He was given the year off. Fresh legs, you know, nothing to worry about for an entire year. Just keep yourself in shape and come back in and dominate the fucking league like you always have before. 10 carries, 31 yards.
Yeah, that was rough.
Texas
rough.
Boy.
Meanwhile, Carlos Hyde did all of the work, and he looked like a young Adrian Peterson. And, you know, he's 30 now. You know, does he have that much left in the tank? Are the Vikings that bad? Is there absolutely deep threat?
The thing, I'm not convinced that the whole 30 years old thing is kind of like the breaking point. And it's not that, it kind of depends on whether or not, I guess, like how consistently you play up until the point at which you're 30.
Are you over 30 now?
I'm over 30 now.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But to me, it's, you know, it's the same way you treat a car. Like, it's not the age, it's the wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, I have it depends on how many miles you got on.
In Will Smith's parlance, does he have some city miles?
Yeah, correct. Right. So, to me, you know, I give my Corolla a year off. You know, I keep the oil changed, comes back, and it works better than ever.
Like in Jurassic World, you give a you give that Jurassic Rover 20 years off. Just amazing.
Just new battery. Like new the battery. Fucking kid can drive it.
Yeah,
like
that's great. It.
That's all that matters.
Man, Jurassic World was such bullshit.
I love that movie, but it was bullshit.
That movie was just good. It's,
I loved how much bullshit it was.
Yeah, it was like it was just so like fuck it. We're gonna have a fun fucking time.
Yeah, it was fan service, but it was fun fucking fan.
Yes.
All right.
Like I'm gonna run through the jungle in high heels.
Which, by the way, I didn't like. That makes no sense. I didn't like any of those people except Chris Pratt.
I like Chris
Pratt.
And he was
in it for like 20 minutes. He's in it for 20 minutes.
He's basically Star-Lord.
Yeah. I thought the movie was terrible. I thought Chris Pratt was a joke in that movie. Like that movie. Was a joke show.
And what the fuck was the point of the woman who was supposed to be watching the two damn kids? Like, she's there.
She was there to get eaten.
Yeah, she loses them, and then she comes back, and she doesn't find them. They technically find
Here's
her.
Here's what I don't get about that woman, that British woman that was supposed to be with them.
The Keira Knightley lookalike?
Yeah, the older guy, that older kid, like, he was around 15. Real world, he'd have been trying to get with her the entire fucking movie. He's like, no, I'm gonna go for my brother. Man, fuck your brother. Go with the girl.
Well, also, just the movie was just, it's like when you're like a little kid and you're playing with all of your toys and you're just like, no, you know, the dinosaurs are going to be, we're going to partner up, we're take down the predator, and it was awful. All right, let's proceed amicably here. What we're going to do now, this week, I'm going to say this very quickly, so basically Marshawn Lynch's mother had like kind of a well-publicized rant where she criticized the coaching staff for the calls. And so in honor of her, we're going to do like a little Marshawn rant where we just basically sound off about things that we generally dislike and that are bothering us that week. I don't know if we're going to do this every week, but it's not a bad idea to pilot it and see if it's any good, see if people enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then we'll just kind of move forward. Who wants to go first? Elliot looks
like... I got mine.
He raised his hand.
I got mine.
He raised his hand.
But as you can see now, like, yeah, like
now
you
we're
know,
visual medium.
Right.
This is some shit that bothers me so much because, like, I think I might have to do what Jeff from Rachel did and get off Facebook for a few weeks because what's pissing me off, just about the age we live in, is that this internet outrage machine that if you say one fucking thing that is not perfect, you are now the worst thing ever. You're problematic. You have done all this horrible stuff.
No, I know what you mean. The other day, I was just like, hey, Obama is a Muslim. And now everyone's all mad at me. Like, it's
ridiculous. But no, it's not to that degree. But if you say something, like, honestly, like, you just... You are not aware of what might hurt somebody else's feelings. Like, all of a sudden, there'll be about 20 articles. Because we got 15 different major websites that are looking for columns, looking for content. And they're going to write something because that gives them some content. And controversy will get them clicks. And it's just like, man, you know, can't we just understand that people fuck up every now and then and not everything is a national tragedy? That's what I wanted to say. That's my thing that's pissing me off.
Not
is there anything specific that you were actually talking about?
I can tell you. I tell you the stuff that happened
tell
with the kid who got arrested.
Okay.
I think it's horrible. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great he's going to the White House, all that. I think it's all great. But the guy who stars in Arrow was saying, like, because like, he was getting a lot of people saying that all Texans are bad. And... He was like, well, look, not all Texans are bad. Like, some of the shit in Texas is messed up. Like, some of the school district stuff like that. Yeah, but, like, we're not all bad.
Yeah.
And, like, he got an article written against him on, like, the Mary Sue that was like, well, he is, I can't believe he said this. He's, like, he's victim blaming. It's like, look, maybe he's not that informed, which is fine, but don't, like, crucify this guy just because he didn't have your viewpoint.
Are you paraphrasing just because he, like, did he actually just say, like, all Texans, like, guys,
he said like something to the effect of, I don't think what they did to this kid is right. Don't get me wrong, but not all Texans are just assholes. And like they just took that and ran with it and wrote like a big long column about how he was an asshole now to the point where he's off social media. It's the same thing that happened with Josh Whedon like around May when everybody got up in arms about how he was like slighting Black Widow in the movie. And it's like, man, not everything's that fucking serious.
Now I feel like the world looks at Texas as like Texans need to be assholes.
Yeah. We're like Biff Tannen now.
I guess so.
It's weird. It's a weird situation.
I think
situation.
That's halfway accurate.
No, I mean, you're right. I do think people sometimes, you know, there's a public shaming component. You think
there's such a public shame. Like, Gawker gets in on that shit all the time.
It's, yeah. You know, you look at the woman that tried to make, like, a South Parkian joke about AIDS in Africa, made the tweet, and the second she landed...
Oh, yeah.
...became a glow. I mean, like, it is tragic. It is weird.
There was a
guy that like made a joke to his buddy sitting next to him in a theater
a woman behind him tweeted that joke and he got fired from his job.
Yeah, it's like...
So it's tough. You know, there was a couple that was on a plane that was having a fight. Somebody live tweeted their fight and it became a viral thing. It is a... So that's why I don't say shit when I'm out on the streets. When I'm in the streets, I don't say a damn... I just keep it 100. I just, you know, put on my stunner shades and I just throw on a ball cap.
No, you're right, though. It. Like, it's
all
to the point
do is
where...
shoot free throws.
So yeah, I just shoot some free throws.
Well, like, I'm just here because I don't get fired. But it's like, yeah. It's to the
point. It's fine. It's
yeah, see, look at that. Even when you don't talk, now then people don't like you.
Well, it's to the point where, like, if I comment on something, I get worried that if somebody really, if I say something that's, like, untoward or maybe I'm just pissed one day, I'm worried I'm going to get fired because it's going to get back somehow to my boss.
Hold on a minute. Chasey.
Yes.
Did you just come on our show and sneeze?
I did.
Bless you.
I cannot believe it.
It's dusty.
I can't believe nobody said bless you.
Because you're tired.
Adam, what is your rant of the week?
You know what? I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, but you know, I like Ronda Rousey as an MMA fighter. I think she's very entertaining. I think the fact that a female in a what would be considered, I think, a male-dominated sport is actually probably the most prized aspect of the entire industry and probably makes the most money as far as anybody's concerned. Like, popularity-wise, Ronda Rousey's off the fucking charts. You don't need to give her movies. You don't need to give her a starring role in a movie.
Yeah, let's back off this shit somehow.
You don't. Okay,
I'm okay.
And if
well, yeah,
you don't need to give her a starring role in a movie. Like, she does not need to be starring in one. She can appear in them. That's cool.
You're mad that
so here's the deal. Ronda Rousey was announced they're doing a Roadhouse remake. Okay. Which, you know, if they're gonna do a remake of a movie, Roadhouse is fine. Okay, sure, whatever. I like Sam Elliott. That's great. If he decides to come back, that'd be way cool.
He doesn't have the long hair anymore, so he's not as cool.
But he's got the beard. He's got the mustache. He can grow the mustache at fucking will. That's all that matters. Sam Elliott mustache. It's cool that you want to get an MMA fighter in there, and it's cool that maybe you want to make it female centric and get somebody who, I guess, who actually knows how to fight. And if it was going to be, I don't know. Something about this just seems
she's
so
not a good
fucking
actress,
disingenuous.
One.
And it's because I think I really hated her in Furious 7.
She was horrible in Furious 7. Let's okay, be so, clear. She so, was really fucking bad.
Okay, Furious 7 was her very first acting role ever.
Expendables 3.
She was a little better in Expendables 3. So what is upsetting you isn't that they're revisiting a movie. It's that they're sort of like what? I don't understand. I mean, Hollywood makes bullshit remakes. Why not throw Ronda Rousey in there? Better than John Cena.
It might not even be like, why not Ronda Rousey? It could just be Ronda Rousey overload.
That's the thing. Is like, I understand. You know what? It's the cashing in on the popularity without taking into account what seems to me anyway. And you know what? I'm not an insider, so I don't know. Maybe she's advanced in her acting capabilities, but you can't really just fight for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, if the movie's going to be that, awesome. You know, I'll definitely go see that. I'll go see a movie where she's just nonstop beating the shit out of people. But there's gonna, she is in the starring role. So I've got to imagine she's gonna say some words at some point, and she's got to say some words to other people, and she's got to react to what they're gonna say back to her.
It all depends on who directs and who writes. Like Haywire was the Gina Carano vehicle,
that's
and
Steven
that was
Soderbergh.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
But that's not even.
Do
fair
you
to
imagine
say,
that Steven Soderbergh is gonna do a Roadhouse remake?
Maybe
Steven Soderbergh made Jennifer Lopez look like a good actress.
Yeah,
I doubt they're gonna have Steven Soderbergh on a Roadhouse movie.
Well, he's not doing anything.
I have.
You know what, Steven Soderbergh? If you decide you want to do the Roadhouse remake, I'm on fucking board, man.
I got no problem with Ronda Rousey and Roadhouse.
It'd be all lounge music and like flash cuts and
because you know it's a too big to fail situation. They'll make it cool. They'll make it explosive-y. and it'll be cool that it's a female protagonist that everybody loves that like says cool things, that does cool things. So what exactly are you mad about?
I'm mad about the fact. You know what? Here's the main thing that I'm mad about. Because I actually do like Ronda Rousey. I like the idea of what it is that she can. What she can do for female athletes kind of thing. I mean, I think what she's doing is kind of, to some degree, unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know,
she keeps it. Would you say that she keeps it 100?
Yes, exactly. I probably wouldn't say that, but I wouldn't say that. But the fact that, you know, there's maybe two sports in the world. There's two sports where I can think that maybe the female athletes, maybe, I guess in terms of popularity, exceed their male counterparts. Okay. You know,
gymnastics.
You know, maybe tennis.
Tennis.
I can say maybe tennis.
Tennis, gymnastics.
But MMA, which is not only a violent sport, but what's something you consider probably a very non-sexy sport.
You know? It's because like if you meet a guy that's like really into MMA, like male MMA, you're sort of looking at him like, really? Like, at least I do. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Like, but I think the idea that a woman can be the most popular personality in her given sport that is actually dominated by men, I think it's...
I don't want to see her fail.
You want to see her corrupted by some bullshit marketing opportunity.
Correct. Exactly. You know
what happened to Jenna Carano? She was everywhere like a few. She was in Fast Six.
I don't know what you're talking about. Elliot, what's your rant? Well, you already had a rant. Yeah. JC, what's your rant?
I don't have a rant of anything I'm upset about, but I am super excited for the Chicago Cubs. They're 85-61. 2 games back in the wild card. They just had a three-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Time out. That is not in the spirit of the segment, sir.
But the Cubs.
That is not in the spirit of the segment. Well, the segment has a spirit, and you're not honoring it.
Well, it will be three months from now when he gets his heart broken.
His rant's going to be, this time next year, or this time next month. It's going to be like, damn, fucking Cubs. Fucking Cubs.
I was going to rant about the Cubs myself. Mine's because he's a Pirates fan, though.
That's why.
Yeah. No, not at all. I'm gonna rant about something that's gonna be a total cop out, but I'm gonna rant about I don't have enough fucking time in my life. I don't have enough time for my life to do my damn job. I don't have enough time in my life to play Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't have enough time in my life to watch college football. I don't have enough time in my life to watch the NFL, the Cowboys, the Texans, all these teams. And you know, I want to do all these things. I don't have time in my life to cook dinner for my girl. Damn.
So the Earth's rotation can go fuck itself.
It can.
What you're saying?
Fuck itself.
Too much right in the content face. To engage with, not enough time to engage with the content.
It's an exciting time right now, and I can't handle it.
Tale as old as time. Here's my rant.
Okay.
My man Tom Brady came through.
Oh God, my man.
Jesus. Your man.
Talking about a hat. Talking about he had a hat.
Mm. Oh fuck.
Talking about what's up with your hat. Talking about. Oh, nothing, man. We're just boys. It's no thing. Then...
But a chicken wing.
Then comes through and says, hey, look, I'm down with Donald Trump. Oh, my God. Now, I don't care. Number one, I always enjoy it when public figures express their political views. I generally respect that notion. Obviously, Donald Trump is an idiot. Obviously, Donald Trump's platform is irresponsible. Obviously, it's impossible. Obviously, he won't be the candidate. But I like Tom Brady, and I'm glad that Tom Brady is expressing his political views. However, you know, ridiculous and comically racist and absurd they are.
Comically right? racist is exactly right.
But here's my problem. It has nothing to do with Tom Brady. Man, Tom Brady, believe what you believe and continue to entertain all of us across America with your stellar ability to throw a football. I'm a little mad at the press because if you saw the video of Donald Trump getting endorsed by Tom Brady, it was Tom Brady saying what he believed. And like 8 reporters around him chuckling like little fanboys. Just, oh my God, Tom Brady's so funny. Oh my God. Ha 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 ha. Every little cue he gave, they laughed at. Come on. This is a serious story.
Isn't that Boston media?
This is a serious public figure expressing a very controversial political opinion. And you're sitting around him gawking and laughing and chuckling. That's just ridiculous. It's not a good look. And you got to do your job. You got to say, what do you believe? Cool, here's a follow-up. Cool, here's a follow-up. Cool, here's a follow-up. Cool, here's a follow-up. Until Brady goes, all right, that's enough. Instead of sitting there playing the cheerleader game, that's not how you do work. Didn't like that at all. So there's my Marshawn rant of the week. You can catch these and more on twitter.com/InsideTheLocker. You can also find us on... several platforms. Oneofus.net.
Shout out
to Brian Salisbury. Shout out to everybody that stays holding us down in the streets. All right. With that, we should probably talk a little week two lines, right? We should talk about the what's going on week two.
Cool.
Who we think's gonna win, blah blah blah. Denver and Kansas City, this game right now is 17-17 as I talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually don't have picks for you, Logan, or Elliot. And so since the game is tied, you might as well go ahead and make your picks.
Okay, I texted you back in the thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Look at your text messages. Right. I said 17-14 Denver.
Well, that's right, you did.
Give me Denver.
I made a pick on the pick-em, and now I can't remember what I picked.
Just follow your heart right now, in this moment. Be in the now.
As a
listen
fan,
to your heart.
As a fan, I'm rooting for Denver.
When it's calling
if I was going to pick cold-hearted, I think Kansas City's been doing all right. And now you're totally just you starting to ball rock.
Why? Listen to your heart before.
I hope y'all see what I have to deal with on a weekly basis. All
right. So
those, those watching of the video. All
right. So
we're doing something different with the picks. So you can still... Not everybody here signed up for the ESPN pick-up, which is why I did the spreadsheet thing. But Ramon decided we should do everything by the spread, which I am totally all about.
We're going to do the spread because it's not enough to tell you who's going to win.
Yeah.
We also want to tell you who you can put money on.
Yeah, so the ESPN pick-up doesn't do it by the spread, and so that's kind of why this will be my official pick. And I went with the Chiefs because the number is -3, and so I think the Chiefs were going to cover that, although it's not looking so good right now.
Hard to say. Anything can happen, especially when you believe.
So since they're tied, I'm going to go with the Broncos. I believe in them. I believe in Peyton Manning. Okay. I believe in...
That should be a shirt. So. Right. I believe in Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That probably is a shirt.
And so since we're going by the spread, Adam, Ellie, do you guys understand like what the plus numbers, plus
yeah, minus I guess like Denver wins by such and such.
Right. For those that don't.
Yeah. So okay. For those that don't, the number that's given, whether it's plus or minus, is always the number for the home team. And so it's the home team, if they're minus a number, then whatever the score at the end of the game is, take away that number, they still win the game. So they're favored to win by more than whatever the number is. If it's a plus, that means they're the underdog, and they have to either win the game outright or keep it within however many points. So pretty simple, just kind of, once you look at it more and more, you get used to it.
Sorry, you said underdog, I got the underdog theme song in my head, so yeah. Stop listening.
Up dog.
All right, so let's begin, and this is a big one. We're starting with a gigantic game, in many ways the game of the week. This is the one the SportsCenter will
be
covering.
Is that a Pixies song?
New England Patriots.
No, it's not Pixies.
Going to the Buffalo Bills. 2-1-0 teams, already looking like a fight for the division. What do you guys think is going to happen?
The number for that game is... Bills +1.
Oh shit!
We're looking at different lines. Oh yeah. All right,
sorry. I got mine from CBS Sports.
Why don't you throw out the lines then?
Okay,
because I'm looking at the Bleacher Report, and frankly, I trust CBS a little more than Bleacher Report.
Okay,
you know, no shots. Who you got?
+1.
That's basically who's going to win this game.
Yeah, plus one is almost a pick 'em.
Yeah, and I'll go first. I think that the defense. I really do believe in this Buffalo Bills defense. Now, I picked the Bills to knock off the Patriots before the Tom Brady suspension. Since Tom Brady has been, since Tom Brady has been the man and come back with a vengeance, I think that tour continues. Elliot is sharing a very humorous Vine with me. That's fantastic.
Von Miller, baby.
I'd love me some Von Miller.
Look, I'd love to pick the Bills at home. Always play the Pats tough. I'm not going to bet on Tyrod Taylor to beat my Tom Brady offense. I like Brady and the Patriots to get it done on the road. 28-20.
I got to go with the Bills. I think they got some mojo working up there, and I think the Patriots had a lot of emotion after their fucking victim is this false victimhood they got going on. It's fucking laughable to watch, but whatever. I think they had a lot of emotion. They came out really hot in that game, but I think they're going to have a big emotional letdown. I think the Bills are going to take them.
You think so?
Fuck the Patriots. Fuck the Patriots fans that don't live in Boston.
You don't like anybody's fans, do you?
I don't. Fuck them.
You don't even like Boston Rob?
All right.
I hate Boston Rob.
JC, who you got?
Go with the Pats.
Logan.
I'm going to go with Bills.
Bills. Adam Charles, the beef nuggets.
Ramona, along with you, I think it's going to be the Pats. I don't think it's going to be 28-20, though. I don't think either team scores above 17.
See, I think you're right. I just think the Pats pull ahead in the end and make it a little funky. All right, next game on my docket.
Make it a little funky.
That's Cardinals, like an early 90s rap song.
Cardinals at the Chicago Bears. Cardinals coming off a big win at home against the Saints, 31-19. Chicago Pretty Bears sure didn't look terrible against the Packers, but that's a couldn't convert in the fourth quarter. And there we have it.
They didn't look like shit. So.
They looked okay.
Bears plus two.
Bears plus
two. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which means the Bears are favored to lose by 2 points.
They're underdogs by two.
Okay, okay. I got the cards by about a touchdown.
Adam Charles, what do you got?
Yeah, I did. Cardinals with a massive fucking blowout. That like I think this is like I'm gonna say 28-6. 28-6.
Yeah, I think this is the game where we really see. Now again, this is something that a fantasy football analyst told me once, but and I have said this on the podcast, but I want to clear because I think it's helpful. Historically, when you're picking NFL games, first 4 weeks of the season are fairly predictable. Weeks 5 through 10 is where shit hits the fan, and it's really, you know, everything goes haywire. But right now, I think historically, I just the Cardinals are a better team. I don't worry about the fact that they're on the road at all. Carson Palmer looks like he's going to be a top five quarterback until the schedule gets rougher and he has to deal with some of those NFC West teams.
Yeah.
Absolutely no challenge from the Bears. I think the Cardinals win 31-19.
I'm going Cardinals also in a bit of a blowout. Not an enormous blowout, but definitely winning by 15-20 points.
Two TDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking. Mm. By the way, I just threw out the same score as last week, so a little bit of a cop out. But I just think that's the realm of points that you're kind of looking
that's
at.
Gonna, yeah, I'm going Cards too because they blew out the Saints. They should easily blow out the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the road. All right, next game on the docket, San Francisco. This is the game that should have been a Super Bowl in the '90s. San Francisco 49ers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two teams that showed kind of more than maybe we thought. Week one,
The
Niners did. Two teams that we're not really sure how good they are. Here's what we know: the Niners have a defense that seems to be game, seems to be tough, seems to be able to make plays on defense. Carlos Hyde is a revelation.
Got a good running game.
But we also know that Colin Kaepernick. It's a whole lot of hopeless deep balls to receivers that just couldn't come down with anything. A lot of inaccurate deep balls. Pittsburgh
deep bowl.
They'll spread you out. They'll create some space, and they'll
throw. I'm not gonna make your mom joke.
That sounds dirty.
They'll throw whatever at you.
Make some.
come on, guys. Let's be adults.
No, that's adult oriented.
They'll spread you out, and they'll put it in. Okay, what is sexual about that? They'll spread you out. They'll put it in.
Actually, that reminds me. There was a paper
score and six
by a sociologist. That
I'm
says
muting
that,
all of your mics at this point.
A lot of like the sports customs of guys, like, where it's like touching people's, like slapping your butt, and like all these like the roughhousing is actually like a way guys get up their some of their homosexual urges. It's like it's a developmental stage they're theorizing now.
Sure.
Which is really sort of interesting.
Oh, so that's how you develop into a homosexual? Is you don't?
Oh, no, 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 no,
you don't develop it. You are born a homosexual, but there's
it's like a development.
Repressed men have to buy into this like homoerotic situation.
Yeah.
Where you're showering with men, where you're
the frat stuff.
You know, the thing about ancient Sparta encouraged homosexuality because the thinking was if you fight for your lover, then you're going to fight harder. So I think it's a beautiful, like, very important
to
thing.
To not be gay, be more gay when you're a kid.
No, no.
They say it's like a natural part of any man's development. That's their theory.
But also, if
straight or gay, I mean.
But also, if you're spending so much of your time, including some naked time, with these like perfect physical specimens of like humanity, then there's going to be a certain level of like sexual tension that's going to develop.
There's not, because you're not made into a homosexual. You are born in.
But they're saying as a part of like straight men, that is a part of the developmental stage.
Sure.
That everybody sort of like glosses over, and they use sports to gloss over it.
Can we get back to the 49ers and the Steelers, please?
Steelers are favored by six.
Steelers by six.
I'm trying to analyze all those ass slaps I did when I was when I was seventh grade. Homo, I could see that.
It's just a theory.
All right.
No, I mean, look, it's complicated. Here's what I'm trying to say. Pittsburgh, San Francisco, a lot can happen in this game. You're gonna see some deep
some deep passes by Ben Roethlisberger.
I like how you're trying to watch your words now.
You're going to see. You're going to see some dick rubbing.
He just said Roethlisberger, so I don't know.
So look, Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite at home. I think San Francisco's defense is undersold a little bit in this game. I don't think what happened with Minnesota is a fluke. I think that's an act. That's actually a pretty damn good team. I like Pittsburgh, 27 to 23 Pittsburgh.
Logan. So then you like the 49ers to cover?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but I think that I agree with Ramon here. It's going to be somewhere right around that range, like the. Going to be like 27 to 10, something like that range. I think it's mostly because it's an early game. It's a noon Central Time game, and the Niners have to travel to Pittsburgh, so that's going to affect the game to a certain extent.
I definitely will.
So.
Wait, so what's the spread again?
Well, it's six.
Six, okay.
So you like the 49ers to keep it within six?
No. I think the Steelers are going to cover.
Okay.
Yep.
JC, what you got?
I like the 49ers to cover.
Elliot, stop playing video games on your phone.
I'm listening.
During the podcast. No, you can multitask with the best of them. Who you got?
He's texting with his live fans.
I am playing the Family Guy video game, thank you. But I got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they showed a lot last week, and I think they should have fucking won that game. And the 49ers are sort of running on crushed dreams. And
they definitely are.
They're in a decaying orbit. Like, they're not horrible, but they're going to get worse every week is what's going to happen.
You think so?
I honestly think they're going to, like, they have to go within themselves and do a gut check, because if they don't, they're just going to crumble and die. There's nothing propelling them forward, I don't think. I don't think there's any heart in that team.
Okay.
Adam, what do you got?
I don't think that San Francisco pulls it out, but I do think that they get within three. So, I think that, I would say that they get within six. So, I like the style of the kind of game that they played last week. I do like that, you know, pound the ball, play defense, yep, sort of thing. You know, you control the clock.
You can do a lot with that.
You can.
That can take you to a close game on the road.
Exactly. Like you can, if you can win the time of possession, and I do think that San Francisco's defense did look very good against a pretty okay offense.
Yeah, borderline dominant. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they are going to have their hands full with Roethlisberger in that receiving core, but with the style of play that they have, I can see that being very easily like a, you know, 20-17 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially without, I mean, like, I'm not convinced by Pittsburgh defense at all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want to the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and you can keep them on the field, and that's why I think it'll be hard for Pittsburgh to run up the score, even if they end up winning. All right, next game. Atlanta Falcons coming off of a very impressive Monday night. You know, even though we've seen people like Matt Ryan, you know, get the conference championships, be a part of the title race late for many seasons now, this is the first time that we saw them under a new head coach, winning convincingly against a very trendy team, Philadelphia. Kind of winning big. You know, you thought early lead, they're gonna kind of piss it away in the second half. A couple of really just huge, critical plays. And the thing is, Julio Jones is a player that is so good that you have to double cover him on just about every snap. And if you don't,
so good,
you're going to run into some serious problems. Atlanta going to the New York Giants, coming off of a heartbreaking loss. Now, I remember texting two Giant friends of mine who are...
very large.
Who are, they're just enormous Giants. Big fans of the New York team. And I said, hey, look, man, you know, I think the Giants will be fine. It was a weird bullshit game. Don't worry about it. And they said, hey, we always play Dallas tough. We fucking suck. And I do think there is something to that. You know, Falcons on the road with a high-powered offense is not going to have too much to contend with defensively. Tevin Coleman looked fantastic running the ball. I'd like to see him get 5 to 7 more carries, you know, go kind of 20 for 90 yards, maybe a score. Falcons win 34-19.
Giants favored by 2.5. So,
who you got?
Yeah, I like the Falcons to beat that spread.
Did you say New York is favored by 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming off of a big win. People like to bet on teams that they know. It's a sucker bet.
I got Giants +1. Like, just based on, I think Eli's going to have something to prove, and I think he'll pull it out. But I think it's going to be really close.
All right, so that's you saying the Falcons. Giants. The Giants are favored by 2.5. So if you think they're going to win
Giants
by 1.
Well, then Giants +3.
Okay.
Eventually, we will not have to explain the way lines work.
I'm sorry. I do not have the vice of gambling. Y'all sinners. Well, burn.
You know what? No, I think... I do think it's going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to be very offensive minded, and I think it's going to be a lot of points scored. But I think Atlanta does pull it out.
Yeah. Oh, I think comfortably.
Yeah.
Logan.
Yeah, I think comfortably too. I think that Atlanta is going to be 32-14, something like that.
I think both teams are going to do their very best.
Whichever one scores the most points.
I'll tell you what, you can't win games. Trent Dilfer said something this week where he was like, you can't win games in this league if you don't score points.
No, it's like you can't lose games in the NFL and still win. Like, that's what it is.
Who you got, JC?
I like the Falcons in that game.
Yeah, Falcons. That's the Ramon Ramirez lock of the week. I tell you what. All right, here's another fun one.
Put the money on that.
Marcus Mariota coming off of...
We don't...
Hey, don't gamble, though. Or, you know, drink responsibly. Have fun out there.
I was like, yeah, gamble responsibly.
The Tennessee Titans going to the Cleveland Browns. Tennessee at Cleveland. This game's a push.
I know, but
it's basically a pick 'em. Yeah.
It looks like Johnny Manziel's going to get the start. It also looks like Marcus Mariota is going to run into a slightly tougher defense than he did previously.
Wait, actually, Manziel's not going to start.
Manziel's not going to get the start, excuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say, seriously?
Yeah, no, it's concussion head.
It's still up in the air right now because he's still in the concussion protocol. From my understanding of the rule, he can be in the protocol like up until tomorrow afternoon.
We will find out eventually, but either way...
this is Friday afternoon.
Tennessee, basically teams... Two very young teams trending in opposite directions, and I think it's hard for anyone to imagine the Titans fucking this up. So I like Tennessee to win 19-10.
I think Tennessee is not going to be close.
It could get ugly.
How not close?
I think they're going to drop them by two touchdowns.
24-10.
I'm thinking, yeah, 24-10 is probably about right.
Okay.
Adam, what do you got?
You know, I think I see about the same thing. One thing I will say that I am kind of intrigued by in this matchup, other than the fact that it's, if Manziel does play, then it's Marcus Mariota. It's basically like the last three Heisman Trophy winners having played each other for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But one thing I will like to see is how Marcus Mariota does against a top-tier cornerback in the league with Joe Hayden. So I think that was something he didn't have to struggle with against Tampa Bay.
The thing is, Mariota seems smart enough to just avoid him altogether.
That's one of the things that people liked is his decisiveness and his quick release, and he doesn't stand back there and let himself get sacked.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. For those of us that are watching right now, and if not, you can picture this. Think about Mark Sanchez when he drops back and his head looks like a bobblehead doll. He's just kind of doing this. He's just like... Marcus Mariota drops back, scans, keeps his shoulders squared, keeps his head straight, and makes a decision. And I think he's just not going to look his way. I think he's going to – this is the biggest cliche, right? Take what the defense gives you. He's going to play – I mean, he's just such a sharp kid. I think there's absolutely no chance that he hangs his team out to dry.
Yeah, the early thing, it looks like Mariota can be – and this is probably about as empty a cliche, as compliment as it could be, but he seems like it could be a much better Alex Smith, like a more athletic, better arm, but still, snappy decision, he's not going to turn the ball over kind of guy.
So basically he's what Alex Smith wish he could have been,
yeah,
kind of thing.
I tell you, the thing that really just boggles my mind, if you look at the NFL and just the level of competition, if you think about good quarterbacks that have emerged in the last 2 years, it's Teddy Bridgewater and now Mariota. That's it. I'm not really thinking of any other rookie that's really made.
Derek Carr had a pretty okay rookie year.
But it just surprises me when I think about it. Just I feel like there's not a big appreciation, especially when you're talking about fantasy football, of how fucking hard it must be to compete at that level.
Well, I mean, yes, that's true. But
it's,
I mean,
shit that probably worked for you your entire life just stops working because everybody else is good.
I think historically, if you look back at each draft. Top tier quarterbacks appear maybe once every on average I would say maybe one or two every 3 years,
yeah,
kind of thing, The draft class for Andrew Luck and RG3 and Russell Wilson was maybe
Kirk Cousins.
Like, yeah. Like I feel bad that for RG3, was like man. That was probably as premier as it gets. Like it was probably what the most premier one is ever since the Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger class.
2004. Yeah, absolutely.
Like they're usually not bunched together like that. Mm-hmm. It's usually like one or two really great quarterbacks. And it's not that maybe sometimes talent wise that they're not there so much as it is that sometimes the talent gets drafted onto a team where they don't actually need their quarterback for another, you know.
No, I completely agree. But what I'm worried about is like you think you look at like these kids playing peewee football, high school football, college football. Like you sell these people this dream that does not exist. It's like the probability of you being that like elite player that's going to get to the NFL and have a decent career where you can actually make money to support yourself for the rest of your life. It just watching this shit. And I like the NFL, don't get me wrong, but I watch it. It just feels like a scam.
It is a scam. It's bullshit. I mean, obviously, you know, yes, you're right.
I would say if you're
Titans or Browns. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to ask Titans or Browns.
Too much, I've been watching Friday Night Lights. Too much of that. Sorry. It's like in my head.
You know what? If you want to send your kid up to fail, let them play high school quarterback.
Yeah.
or kicker.
Okay. No, they'll totally succeed there. If you're a good kicker,
man.
Titans, Browns, who you got, Logan?
You keep it 100.
If Johnny doesn't start, then I'm going with the Titans.
What if Johnny does start?
But if Johnny starts,
I'm going. I'm going with a 24-10. If he does start, I'm going with Browns 124-14.
Love it. Big talk, big pimping. Now this is a funky one. How about the Houston Texans going to the Carolina Panthers? A lot of teams that have. That have holes. The two teams with very defined holes. For the Panthers, it's an inability to get the passing game going.
F'd in the A.
It's a lack of a one. For those of you fantasy guys out
there, the opposite holes. It's like the 69er game.
We really thought going into
the 69er game.
We thought that Devin Funchess, the 6'4 rookie receiver, was going to be able to emerge as the default number one. But rapport not quite there yet. What we do have is Cam Newton, Diggs hanging out with Ted Ginn Jr. You remember him from Ohio State and from a failed NFL career. Still in the league. The problem is that Ted Ginn Jr. is not that great, but he does have the trust of Cam Newton. If you guys need like a deep flex and you're like in a 30-team league, not a bad option. Flex. Not a bad option.
Deep cuts, baby. Deep cuts.
The fact remains that the Houston Texans should have a better defense than they showed at home in the opener. We'll be starting Ryan Mallett, who brought them back. Do have DeAndre Hopkins, who is quarterback-proof. I kind of think the Texans can get it together a little bit in this game. Carolina is a 3-point favorite.
Hmm.
Give me the Texans 21-17.
I completely agree, and I think that what's going to put them on the top is going to be a defensive touchdown.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I would say too.
And there's no Luke Kuechly for the Panthers.
Wait, what happened to Luke Kuechly?
He got hurt. Didn't he get hurt?
Didn't they also have like a really good receiver last year? Watkins, I think.
Luke Kuechly might be gone for the year. I don't remember.
What? He's sidelined.
Oh, okay.
So he won't play. He'll be on the sidelines, but I don't know how long. Who you got, JC?
I'll go Texans.
Texans. Logan.
I'm going with the Texans for two words, Shane Leckler.
Oh, it's Shane Leckler, punter. It's punting season. It's not the fall until you go punting for the first time. All right, next game. This is a funky one. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off of, oof, what a stinker at home. Traveling to New Orleans, a team that's starting to look like one of the three or four worst teams in the league, except that they have an elite quarterback, and that can kind of keep them afloat. Now, the Saints are a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Who is the game you mentioned was your like sucker bet of the week?
I think it was Globetrotters Generals.
Well, anyway, my point being, like me personally, the Saints didn't look very good last week, and neither did the Buccaneers, yes. But 9.5 points, 10 by CBS Sports. That is a ton of points.
That is a lot.
It's 10.5 by ESPN.
Yeah, I will take, in the NFL, I'll take a 10-point underdog all day. Give me Bucks.
Hey, give me the Saints.
I think by more than 10 points.
I give the Saints by 14. Drew Brees is going to come out and torch that defense.
Yeah.
Are they in the dome?
You know what?
They're in the dome, home opener.
They're the dome. You're going to fucking torch them. You're going to throw people open. It's going to be good.
I tend to agree. You know what? I didn't see enough from Tampa Bay's offense or defense. I mean, if Marcus Mariota can get a perfect 158.3 against them with his first professional game, I dare to see what exactly Drew Brees can do to that defense. So, and that's not short. You know that I'm not trying to shortchange Marcus Mariota. He may turn out to be a great quarterback, but a quarterback should not be that successful right out of the gate. Ever. You should not. There should never be a position where they throw a perfect game.
People forget, but Peyton Manning threw 300 yards in his rookie debut.
He also threw what? And
three interceptions. Yeah,
okay, thank you.
It happens. It happens. All right. Did we all just say who we got?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I might be the only one going Bucks.
I'm going Bucks too.
I'm going New Orleans by 17.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think. I think both teams are pretty bad. 9.5 points. Boy, that's a big old cushion.
Yeah.
Big old cushion.
For that cushion.
Which is why I'm going Bucks in that.
Yeah, I like the Saints. Yeah, 25-18. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game, though.
A fun game. I definitely think the Saints win. Come on. I don't think the Buccaneers are historically bad. I think they're just kind of sucky. All right, moving forward.
Moving right along.
This is kind of a funky one here. How about the Detroit Lions looking really good for a little bit on the road to San Diego, but not able to close a job, traveling up to the Metrodome, playing a team that just looked bad across the board. Two teams licking their wounds from trips to the West Coast. Detroit at Minnesota.
Ooh,
your line there. Minnesota is favored by 3 at home. Minnesota is. So can Adrian Peterson get the running game going? Does Teddy Bridgewater grow up before our eyes? We've gotten a lot of, and we have given a lot of vote of confidence points to the Minnesota Vikings, but we haven't seen nothing. We've seen absolutely nothing. We've seen maybe Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph, you're in a deep fantasy league. He'll get some targets.
Yeah. He's going to go down in history.
But, you know, the reality is that we're just not seeing a whole heck of a lot.
That's right.
Now,
yeah, I get it.
Matthew Stafford has not been elite since 2012, 2013. He hasn't been the big-time offensive machine that we kind of assume he is.
Mm.
So, what kind of game are we going to see? Divisional game. Generally speaking, the NFC North among those divisions that doesn't yield that many points. I think it's going to be ugly. I get the idea of picking Minnesota at home. But, yeah, give me Detroit 21-19.
Okay, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I think between the two, you know what I like? Maybe it's because I like Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of the Cowboys.
I'm a Mike Zimmer fan.
I am a Mike Zimmer fan. I'm a Mike Zimmer fan. So I think the between the two, I think the Vikings are most likely to come out on top okay.
Yeah.
I take Minnesota 21-19 actually does sound pretty good. I like 21-19.
Cheers to 21-19 Minnesota.
I like that.
Well, I have Detroit, you have Minnesota. So
I have Minnesota.
We're polar opposites.
Yeah.
Logan, who you got?
I'm definitely leaning Detroit on this. I think in an instance like this, you definitely have to lean on the quarterback, and I think that Stafford's probably the superior quarterback in this instance. So I'm going to say 21-17. So same thing.
I dig it. JC, where you at, brother?
We doing something. I will go Vikings covering the 3.
I dig it. Elliot, Birdman himself. Who you got?
I thought you said Birdman. I was like, Jesus. Minnesota. Save 21-19.
Yeah.
So everyone that said 21-19, you're picking the Lions because it's...
Oh, I'm picking 24-19, whatever. Minnesota. I'm really drunk right now.
Wait, it's Minnesota favored by what?
By three.
Guys, by three.
No, you know what? No, plus three. I go Minnesota then. Fine. I don't want to do this 21-19 thing anymore.
Yeah, I don't like this spreadsheet.
24-20.
All right. St. Louis Rams
that
traveling...
That still works mathematically, right?
Yeah. To the Washington football team. You know, I try to be sanctimonious about saying Washington football team, but the reality is I say Redskins too much.
Ethnic slurs.
I'm way too conditioned to say Redskins, even though it is, like, you know, ridiculous and just comical.
That's so frittata.
How about those St. Louis Rams? How about Nick Foles looking pretty darn good, not just in a spread pony system offense like he's been running since Westlake, since Arizona, since the Philadelphia Eagles? Looking fantastic.
Are we gonna see a little thunder and lightning here? Are we gonna see a little magic dust? Are we gonna see a little tickling? I think the Rams got what it takes to go on the road, and they'll just hit you in the mouth. Let's talk like a 60-year-old like white coach, just like we're gonna hit him in the mouth.
That old dog don't hunt.
We're gonna hit him in the mouth. Give me the Rams 21-10.
I like it.
Who disagrees? Just who disagrees? You know what?
That's a good put. I definitely don't disagree. I think St. Louis is the real deal.
I like St. Louis. I also think that the Redskins are a bit of the definition of a dumpster fire right now. So
very bad team.
I can't disagree with
you. To simplify the verbiage of the spread, do you think the Rams will win by more than 4 points?
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we all got the Rams in that one.
You know what?
Yeah,
that's, Rams. You know what? You called Atlanta. I call St. Louis. St. Louis is my. That is my definite.
That's your Adam Charles.
That's
the beef nugget of the week.
That is the beef nugget of the week.
Beef nugget of the week.
Oh God!
Now this is secretly kind of the best game of the week. Cincinnati Bengals 3.5-point favorites at home against the traveling San Diego Chargers, two AFC perennial playoff teams.
So man, do you think the Bengals will win by more than 4 points?
Oh yeah. I got Bengals by 7. No, I got Bengals by 14.
Bengals?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bengals by 14. That's big. Oh, look, you know, look, the Cincinnati Bengals, that defense, that roster, hella talented. This is also kind of an unhinged team. You saw probably the most troubling play of the week, of week one, was Adam Pac-Man Jones basically ripping off Amari Cooper's helmet and beating his head against his own helmet. He only got fined for that one, but that I just think that the Bengals are a really difficult out, especially at home. I like the Bengals. Oh, that's gonna be a tough one. I can't see what's gonna happen. I don't have a crystal ball in front of me.
To me, these two teams are like the epitome of unpredictable.
Yeah,
like I really don't know exactly what to expect from either one of them from 1 week to the next. Like, Cincinnati can go out there and dominate a team, or they can go out there and, you know, shit the bed.
That's such a good point. I mean, and these are teams that have, I mean, especially Cincinnati, think of all the playoff games that they've historically just given away at home. Just about anything can happen. So I think maybe the safer bet is to ride Phillip Rivers a little bit, because you know that he can throw it so many times a game and keep you in it.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
From week to week, if I had to pick between Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton, I'm going to go Phillip Rivers 80% of the time.
Oh, every time. So, absolutely. All right. I got the Chargers to win 27-24. Who you got, Logan?
I have the complete opposite. I have the Bengals 27-24.
All right.
I got San Diego. Mm, 28-23.
I love it. For those of us listening live, Peyton Manning has just tied the game.
Yeah.
Assuming that this extra point is good, with a shotgun 19-yard touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders. How about those apples?
Logan, Chargers or Bengals?
Bengals. He's got Bengals.
Come on, Star-Lord.
I said the Bengals.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Tuan Macklin.
Elliot, who you got?
I have Bengals.
Love it. JC.
I'll go with Bengals by more than 4, yeah.
That's beautiful news across the board. All right. The Miami Dolphins, a team that I told you last week
coming up
was not very good, traveling to another team that we know is not very good, but they do have pools in the stands, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dolphins favored by 6.
Yeah, Miami's a 6-point favorite on the road.
If the Dolphins are traveling to a place where that has pools in the stands, then you know, like Dolphins it's basically
a home game, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're playing in the ocean at that point.
Call me a SeaQuest fan because I think the Dolphins are going to be awesome plus 14.
I think anything can happen in this crappy ass game.
Yeah,
I don't want anything. I don't want to look at. I want to think about it. I don't know that Miami's good. I don't know that Miami can run a 2-minute offense. I don't know that Miami has a quarterback to carry them to a lot of points. I don't want to think about this game, but since I'm on the spot, I think Miami wins this game 17-7 in a stinker.
That is the shittiest.
That's a horrible game, but that's like the midday horrible game news you get.
I'm going to say, I'm going Miami 28-9.
Yeah, something
Jesus,
right.
Yeah. All right,
JC, Logan, what do you guys got?
I got the Dolphins blowing them out.
Yeah, this game sucks. All right.
I apologize.
To I agree. Dolphins.
I'm sorry that anyone that listened to that, any one of our five listeners listening live right now, we appreciate it. We thank you.
Hey, at dperez 3573 was, but he had to go to sleep. But he did say that he's really loving this idea, and he's going to catch up with the podcast later.
Shout out to at dperez 352819.
And at the end, we have two questions that we can answer.
Oh, let's drop these questions.
Oh, all right. Kevin Moreno, who's in our Pitskin Pick'em League, he directed this one to me. He wants to know how I feel about week one in the Pitskin Pick'em on ESPN, which I did very horribly. There, I only picked 7 games right, but when we made picks on air, I got 11 right. And so,
you know what? And see, that's the strange thing is because.
So was that a question? How do you feel? Like what? Like how do you feel today? That's a question.
He's asking.
That qualifies for a question these days.
Well, I mean, it was like two.
How do you feel about it? Yeah.
Settle down.
All right.
Well, I did say it was directed to me. So the other one, Scott.
Well, hold on. So going back to that, like, it was interesting that you brought it up earlier about how weeks 1 through 4 are historically, I guess, the easiest to pick.
Easiest to pick, yeah.
And then 5 through 10 is kind of where it goes. See, to me, it's always the opposite. Like, coming out of the gate is where, to me, it is kind of unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You're going off of what you expect either from training camp or team acquisitions or historically how they did the year prior. Like, but coming out of the gate, like, that's when shitty teams tend to the team that was shitty last year, you expect them to be at least marginally as shitty as they were last year, and then kind of week one is where they tend to surprise you. Yeah. For me,
it's the week of chaos.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like week one and two are usually pretty much the hardest for me to pick.
Yeah,
but after that is kind of where I get a good semblance of where I think a surprise team may be going on forward, or where I think if a team that was historically good can right the ship if they started out bad.
That's a yes but situation. In other words, yes but shit gets screwy, shit gets wonky, mm-hmm, historically, according to Vegas. But I do kind of feel what you're saying. I feel like it should be easier. All right, 4 more games. Stick with me, people. Okay, guys, let's hold hands. Give me your hand.
Give me your hand.
Hold JC's hand.
You're really soft.
Hold JC's
hand. I gotta type the.
Mm-hmm. This man, like, his arms are soft.
I had to put my beard in first.
Let's hold it. I gotta type the teams in.
Are we doing a seance?
No, it's like we're about to kick a field goal, and I hope we make it.
Drink the beer while he
did. He took the cup.
Guys,
he blessed it.
We're gonna do this together. Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Oakland Raiders. Ravens are a 7-point favorite. Please tell me that nobody here likes the Raiders in that game.
I like the Raiders in that game.
God damn it!
I like the Raiders in that game.
This is ridiculous.
Wait, is Derek Carr playing?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
At least we didn't know when I checked this several hours ago. but all signs point to, I just Googled Derek.
Well, I mean, that's kind of another one of those, it's a big number. And so anytime, yeah, the bigger the number, the more likely it is for me to go with the dog. And so, yeah, I kind of...
Is that because it pays out more?
Well, that, and it's just... So the reason why the Saints thing is kind of a sucker bet is because Vegas is trying to sway the public one way.
Okay. Yeah.
They think Drew Brees, they think New Orleans Saints, they see, holy shit, 10-point favorites, put everything on them. Yeah, and that's, they basically try to sway the public.
So they're messing with the market.
Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, 7 points is a lot of points, and the Raiders are not very good, but I think they can keep it to within 7.
So what does it mean when somebody says, I'll give you the points?
Holy shit. We have to say this. The Broncos just won 31-24.
Yes!
We don't know how. We have some breaking news. Jamal Charles up the middle, fumbles it, returned for a touchdown.
Yes!
Oh, wow. Man, all the ways in which you...
Fuck you, Andy Reid.
How many points did that give you now over me?
Guys, we can... How about all y'all Travis...
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you dick. Hold on. Hold on.
Hold, please.
Wait.
Come on, Ruxin. Get it together.
We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Two weeks in a row, Denver defense double digits.
I can't believe it. Yep, literally.
You 16-point motherfucker, you.
Who are the chefs? Who are the chefs right here? Unreal turn of events. And we're reporting this live. You heard it here first, 5 people that probably are also watching this game on their phone. All right, Dallas Cowboys. This is what they want to hear about. How about the Dallas Cowboys going to Philadelphia Eagles? Now, Philly's a 5.5 point
5.5-point favorite.
Well, wait, hold on. Am I the only one that liked the Raiders? And well, me and Elliot.
Yeah. No, I like the Raiders.
I think you guys are. I think you guys are making. I think you guys are embarrassing yourself.
I'm gonna root for the Raiders just because. Fuck it.
This was a piss. You just want to piss off for a moment.
Cool. Well, hey, if you're right, you're the only one that gets this one right. So there you go.
Dallas Cowboys and Philly Eagles. You know, this is a game. I still think that the public is giving way too much confidence to the Philly.
Yeah, seriously.
Philly Eagles. There's also a lot of recency bias. You know, you think back to the 2013 historically bad Dallas Cowboys defense. Now, completely different. You know, this is not Monty Kiffin. This is Rob Marinelli. Dallas was a top 11 defense last year, which is not terrible.
Top 11?
And I think the big thing to keep in mind is, you know, can Dallas protect the ball? Can Dallas not turn it over? People are also thinking, well, no, Dez Bryant, you can't stretch the field. Guys, this is Tony Romo circa post Terrell Owens, pre Dez Bryant, when you had guys like Patrick Creighton, LaRon Robinson, Miles Austin coming on big. People like Terrence Williams. I think this is how I see the offense. Now, you look at people like Fletcher Cox, they can really give that offensive line trouble. I think Dallas will probably, you know, Dallas would love to go in there and have another game where they dominated the line of scrimmage, where they can eat up the clock. But I think the reality is that they're going to get into urgency mode a little bit quicker. And I think people like Devin Street become pretty valuable in this game. A lot of high volume, high usage. He's going to get an opportunity to be the WR2 in this league, on this team. But I think the difference is, and I think what can make Devin Street be borderline special is that Gavin Escobar is going to get some more snaps. He's going to stretch the field a little bit. You can concentrate as much as you want on Jason Witten. Certainly, he's a guy that the Eagles have targeted, but I think there's enough balance on these components that Tony. I'm not saying they're good pieces. I'm saying that Tony Romo can comfortably use what he has in front of him. He can play with the toys that he's got. I would be very surprised to see this game get out of hand. You know, I've seen some official predictions. For example, Bleacher Report has it 37-28 Eagles.
No way.
You know, is no. Can Philly win this by five? I just don't see on what, you know, we're because again, the other thing is that there's this assumption that Philadelphia is going to come out and just throw the ball all over the Dallas field. You know, Morris Claiborne held up really because Orlando Scandrick got hurt in the preseason. Yeah. Mo Claiborne held up great. They still have Brandon Carr, who's a $15 million cornerback.
He stopped talking and just started playing.
Yeah. Byron Jones, a first round draft pick who has, you know, great speed. I think that Philly wants to run on Dallas. I think they can. I don't see this being a high, like, as high scoring game as people imagine. I think it's a, you know, 31-27 kind of a game. It doesn't matter who wins. The point is Philly won't cover.
So basically what I'm getting from you is that you haven't been paying much attention to this game at all.
And I figured that, and it sounds like you didn't pick a team. You picked that Phily won't cover the spread.
Right, exactly.
31-27 who?
That doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, that is one of those weird, because I talked about how whenever the number's pretty big, I kind of go with the underdog. And yeah, I definitely would do that with the Cowboys, because I don't know how Vegas is giving five to the Eagles.
I gotta go +10 for Dallas.
You think +10?
I think +10. I think Chip Kelly is like a fantasy football coach, and he's been promoted past his competence.
I do think it'll be a close. It'll be within one touchdown. I think it'll be decided by which team decides that they're going to want to try to run on the other team more. I do think it's going to be a time of possession kind of game. Especially for Dallas, I think this is going to be the week where the offensive line, like last week, offensive line showed off how well they can dominate and the pass protection. I think this is the week they try to decide that they're going to show that they don't need DeMarco Murray back there and that they can get a 100-yard rusher without him.
Come on, Joseph Randall.
So I'm going to say Philadelphia definitely does not get 5 points over. I'm going Dallas 28, Dallas 28, 24.
I dig it.
I can't predict the final score, but I think the Cowboys win by three.
You don't want to revert too much to what we just saw, but I'd just be very surprised to see Philly dominate Dallas, and that's why I think this spread is so generous. All right, the Sunday nighter. This is a hot one. This is a funky one. How about the Seattle Seahawks traveling? I swear to God, Elliot, I told you about the phone.
I'm looking at fantasy football.
Seattle going to Green Bay.
Just, like, I was looking at my fantasy
Seattle
football.
Seattle going to Green Bay on Sunday night football.
The guy playing me only has 3 points out of the night, so I was happy.
The Seahawks didn't look particularly good.
20 yards from C.J. Anderson only.
On Sunday night. The Seahawks did not look particularly good on Sunday night. However, and this is critical, the Packers are at home without Jordy Nelson. The Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. They've lost a lot of close games to the Seahawks in recent memory. What do you guys think?
I got Seahawks.
And you just yawn.
I'm tired.
I'm and so bored of this game.
It's 11 o'clock. I'm old now and I get tired.
Unbelievable. Unacceptable.
Anyway, what's the line for this game?
31 years old. Grown ass man.
Three and a half. Packers by 3.5.
Packers by 3.5, and they're playing in Lambeau?
In Green Bay, yeah.
You know what? I think Aaron Rodgers and that team definitely have a bad taste in their mouth from that NFC Championship game, and with Seattle being without Cam Chancellor, that, like, you never really realize it until, you know, the player's gone and then they have
don't
to perform without him.
Got till it's gone.
You know, it really did seem like that secondary was you know, pretty much in good position for, you know, if one of them went down, that they'd be able to perform from week in to week out. But how much they got torched by Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, followed this past week by how much Nick Foles just kind of picked them apart. You throw Aaron Rodgers in there.
Come on, that phone.
I think Aaron Rodgers has something to prove, and I think that Green Bay defense has something to prove too. I can see Green Bay winning this one. I'm saying by 6.
I love it. Ellie, who you got?
I got the Seahawks.
Oh, I already asked you that. Yeah. JC, who you got?
I like the Seahawks not going 0-2. I think they're going to try really hard to make sure that doesn't happen.
I think because it's at Lambeau, Packers got to win by at least 7.
You know, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback that people like Jeff Ketchum from 104.9 The Horn, who hosts, you know,
Ketchum?
Jeff Ketchum, yeah. You know, just,
is he a Pokemon character?
He's a pundit. Like to make the argument that Aaron Rodgers is, you know, one of the greatest of all time already. He very well may be the best quarterback in the league, and certainly right now with Manning and Brady above their years, Drew Brees fading. If you're an Aaron Rodgers, you've got to win this damn game. You haven't taken care of the Seahawks team yet, and you've had a lot of high-profile opportunities. Like Adam said, a bad taste in your mouth, and you want to come out there and you want to pour it on. Without Cam Chancellor, you definitely can.
Needs to do a double check.
Are the champs about to go 0-2?
I think so.
I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure this game out, man. Because I think it should be like a 28-10 beatdown. But those Seahawks are so pesky.
I also say, like, the problem that if they do go 0-2, it's their fault for losing that first game. It's not their fault for losing the second game.
That's true, too.
It's not your fault.
Yeah. I can see that.
What was that from?
Good Will Hunting.
That's right.
You know what, Packers? Let's. This is a shaky vote of confidence. Let's go out there and let's let the talent on the field speak for itself. Let's let them llamas clap. Let's go out there and get it done. Packers, 29-16.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right, and your Monday nighter this week is the Jets. Oh, the Jets at the Colts. Colts by 7, though.
Colts by 7.
I'm so disappointed in this
game.
Come
on. This is like
when it's a nice, relaxing Monday game.
This is like when you...
I can ignore this game. That's
good. This is terrible. Yeah, give me the Colts.
Yeah,
Colts. 33-17.
Yeah, I'll take Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 30. I'll say 34-23.
This game does suck. This game is really very, very unpleasant. This is like a great game for like when you, you know, like...
You get home from work and
you get home, you tap open a beer.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm going to watch this game for a little bit. And then just next thing you know, you're just sleeping on your couch. Yeah. And you're like, what, it's over?
Perfect.
What the hell just happened?
It's like, oh,
all right, folks, I think we just did the show.
Can I give a shout-out?
Shout-out.
My friend Jason Murphy from Rachel, he just got published. He's in a book, and it's an anthology of horror stories called Fresh Meat.
That's awesome.
And I read his story. It's called Homunculus. It's fucking terrifying. He does, like, body horror really well.
Way to go, Jace.
That's like, fantastic. It's really, really nicely done.
I don't know if I want to read that.
And hold on,
and it's only $4 on Amazon
we do actually have one other question.
I was just gonna say, like, shout out to Scott PJ Thoughts. Unless you feel like you can answer it really quickly. He asks...
let's go.
He saw the amazing 30 for 30 on the USFL with Donald Trump. Do you expect anyone to ever create new sports leagues to compete with the NFL, NBA, or MLB?
Ooh, I don't think so.
You know, I think the angle there would be if we can get an international league that gets on a roll that would force
XFL.
Yeah, I mean, like that would force something like the MLB to pay attention to it.
But I think it would only be baseball and basketball. NFL has no threat to it.
You don't think so?
NFL has been doing everything wrong for the past 5 years, and they still make more money than any other sport.
You know what? I would say...
It's also because Americans are stupid.
Well, yeah.
I would say NFL, maybe not. You know, it's funny because like the NFL actually had... They had a decent... they had a competitor like back in the 80s.
Well, it was the AFL versus the NFL.
No, that was...
It was the AFC versus NFC.
That was AFC-NFC. But no, there was like the league that...
CFL?
The league that Jim Kelly got drafted to.
USFL. Before,
the USFL, yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
like
so that's what the 30-30 was about.
Well, then fucking yeah. So you know what? Okay, here's what I would say. I wouldn't be surprised with, depending on how the NCAA does with paying players or to some degree compensating players, I could see something happening where there is a farm league to the NFL. That's the most I could see with that.
Yeah,
like the NFL developing talent. Instead of going to college, coming out of high school.
I would say actually getting
paid.
But there's so much money that everybody would lose if you don't use the college as a farm system anymore. Hmm. Like there's so much money on the table.
Yeah. But you could also pay those players, and it could be top tier talent getting paid.
I agree. If the NCAA doesn't start paying their players and there comes a competitor that's like, look, you don't have to do any bullshit classes. You will be on the track to the NFL. Just come to this league.
Yep.
NCAA will just crumble, but they will start paying their players the next day.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think basketball could come close, but I don't know. Then again, not really, because like street ball had kind of a very quick... that was hot for a while, and there was street ball leagues, and that was real popular, and then it died. Yeah, and then it died pretty quickly.
No, you're going to need a major scandal. The condition is like a serious match-fixing scandal that like kind of fucks up everything, and then... sets off a chain of events, and the next thing you know, people are defecting to... I think, like, the NBA is a great example. I think if it happens, it'll be basketball.
Yeah.
And
E-sports.
We'll get into a situation where Europe kind of throws its support behind one union. Mm-hmm. NBA has a serious credibility issue. Players start flocking to Europe, and then, boom, balance of power switches. I can see that happening.
E-sports.
I would love, like, an international league.
E-sports? Like, what about e-sports?
Spain could be its own team.
Esports.
Well, maybe he just wants to say it.
Esports.
You know,
I'm joking.
Mostly, like you got the Gasol brothers, and you can France get its own team. Like I would love it. I would love it to where, and if not so much a competitor, but NBA expands, and they go, look, we're gonna have regular NBA teams, but Spain can have a team, France can have a team, Germany can have a team, England can have a team, and they'll just be a team in our league.
The difficulty I could see with that is travel time. Travel time, and especially...
Travel time and the U.S. team will just dominate like they do all the time.
I don't know. Like, man, France has some good players.
That's if they're not actually picked by an NBA team.
Yeah, but if it's the best of their country versus just a regular NBA team... I'm not talking about the dream team. I'm talking about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
All right, guys. I think at this point we're down to three viewers, so we've probably gone off the rails.
No, and I think one of those is
real quick. Shout out to everyone listening to us right now.
One of those is my girlfriend.
Inside the lockers in the building.
Based on the picks we made last week, Ramon got 12 picks right. I got 11.
That's right.
Logan got 8. Adam 10.
I told y'all.
Elliot, 9.
12.
10.
Come at me, bro. 9. Come at me, man. Check this out. Inside the locker.
Wait, how often do we agree this past week?
We out here, man. From the streets.
From the underground, for the 99,
to the 2000.
Everybody have a very pleasant weekend. And,
wow, you went from 100 to like 25.
And just just take care of each other out there.
Drink responsibly.
Fuck that. Have a good time.
All right, we're good. Get that camera out of my face.